Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We welcome all in Jesus' precious name. And we'll be fine. Intimations. Please stay behind for a cup of tea and coffee in the hall after the worship. It's, as we say, it's a time just to be together and to share together. Sorry, there's something going wrong here. Summer Mission are collecting clean Tetra juice cartons for the craft activities during Summer Mission Week in July. So please, if you have them, just to put them in the vestibule. So there should be a box there. Not milk or soup cartons though. Fun day is on the 20th, that's next week, next Saturday. Fun day is next Saturday, 2 o'clock at the High Kirk Grounds. And then the Summer Mission Week is 22nd to the 25th of July, the High Kirk Halls, 11 to 1:30, and then the Youth Nights down at Ardeer Church Hall, 23rd of July, 25th of July, 7 till 9. And then Messy Church here at 12 o'clock on Saturday the 27th. And we have a shared worship down at Ardeer at 10:30 to for the end of Summer Mission, and there is a praise afternoon service at 3 o'clock in the High Kirk with New Focus, and that brings everything together. Now that's instead of the prayer walk, just to be clear on that, the afternoon praise service. And articles now to be with Alan Kerr for the Livingston Herald by the 28th of July. That's that Sunday, which means it's only 2 weeks away. And that's magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk is the email address for that. Then just one further one. Would elders please meet? Are we tea and coffee in the wee hall? The big hall. Well, elders, could we just meet in the wee hall for 5 minutes? There's a bit of business around the manse that we need to deal with. Our call to worship then is from Isaiah 43. Forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I make a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness, the streams and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they proclaim my praise. Let's rise to worship. From heaven you came. Thank you. Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise, for you have made us and given us life. You have redeemed us and set us free. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise, for you have found us and made us your own, named us and called us beloved. God, you walk with us. You walk before us. You walk beside us. And we give you thanks and praise, for you've promised to be with us always, and nothing can separate us from your love. So, Father, our God, we love you and we adore you. Psalmist writes, create me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Father, we confess that we have lived superficially. We have pushed to the back of our minds the questions that trouble us. We have not found time to face the emotions that disturb us. We have hidden from life behind habit, activity, and entertainments. We have avoided you, God, even as you came after us. In our relationships, we have given less than our whole selves, and we have not received from others what they wish to give us of their selves. We have countered the sharp demands of justice with hardened hearts. We have allowed imagination and sympathy to wither. Routine has been our ally and honesty our dread. Lord God, we have shut ourselves up. So we pray, Lord, that you would come after us again, knock once more, that we may open up to meet others, rediscover ourselves, know your love, and live again. Father, as we praise your forgiven people, your redeemed people, hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week we started that whole series on looking at the Ten Commandments. And for me, one of the easy things to do is just look at them as a set of rules or a set of guidance and say that's how we've got to live our lives. But actually, it's a bit more than that. We need to actually to explore the commandments and what they do. So last week we were kind of thinking it in the context of the story of the rich man, the man who said to Jesus, how might I inherit eternal life? And Jesus had said, keep the commandments. And then we talked about the commandments of honouring your mother and your father, of not murder, not committing adultery, not stealing, not giving false witness, and not coveting your neighbour's things. And that's kind of where that conversation had started. But the man had said, but I do that, so what else must I do? And Jesus had said, well, go and sell all your stuff. It's in the road, it's in the way. So to get that focus onto eternal life and onto Jesus, it was about selling all that stuff he had and giving it away. And the man left sad, because he relied on that stuff. And he realized that it's either that stuff or it's eternal life. And his summation of things, the way he was looking at it, it's actually that stuff was far more important, whether it's because it was something he could touch, whether it was something he could control, whether it's something that he could deal with. So he saw that and didn't want to give that away. But that's the very stuff that Jesus was saying, it's in your road. You're not seeing clearly. And I think for us, we also need to remember that sometimes we have things around us that get in the road, and we can't see exactly what it is we're doing, and maybe we can't see that up relationship. You remember the triangle with the up relationship, the relationship with God, that we can't always see that way because of the stuff that was there, that kind of idolatry that was there. As we explore the Ten Commandments, then we would then see what it actually means, especially if we get rid of the and take out the thou shalt not, whatever it is, thou shalt not, and start to look at it as a more positive kind of thing. Let's just have a moment in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, as we pray, we ask for a blessing. And all those who teach and all those who learn, we ask a blessing on your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we sing together, great is thy faithfulness. and we continue with our offering. Our prayer points this morning, from our Drossan Presbytery, it's those in training for ministry. We were through this just a couple of weeks ago, actually, but it's this is the new prayer diary for this year. It starts in July. So those in training for ministry, Mandy Ralph, Douglas Crichton and Betsy Thane. So Douglas is just starting his probation period, and Mandy just getting to that point towards the end of a probation period, and Betsy, I think, is in a placement. Ministry and Superintendents Committee, that's the committee that actually oversees the training there. So the convener is Alan Richardson, and vice convener for the ministry section is Reverend James McNay. From the Crossreach Prayer Diary, the Oasis Bank Foot and Trust Daycare Services in Pitlochry provides a range of activities and care services for people who are over 65 years of age. And one of the prayer points there is to give thanks for the hard-working teams in both locations and for the sense of happiness as they support the people attending the service. And Path of Renewal, the section is really kind of central, is Path of Renewal from St Andrew's Presbytery, Howe Fife Cluster, and it's Bill Hunt as the minister. From Falkirk Presbytery, Bowness Old, and Amanda Macquarie, she's the minister there. And from Dunkeld and Meagle Presbytery, Pitlochry Parish Church, the Reverend Mary Haddow, and their mentors, Reverend Donald Laurie and Diane Ashton. And also just to keep in prayer the fact that Path of Renewal are now going for a third tranche. So there'll be congregations now considering whether to go into to be part of Path of Renewal. Don't always see an awful lot of what goes on around Path of Renewal, but we've been slowly working our way through that, about looking at how things would look in as we renew and we look at worship and service and mission for today. So with all that, let's just join together in prayer. Let's pray. Creator God, we praise and thank you for the earth and the wonders of its life, the beauty of landscape, sky and seasons, the animals and the plants, with their intricate interdependence, for making us to be part of it all, shaping landscape, affected by seasons, partners in creation. Redeemer God, we praise you for Jesus Christ and the glory of your work in him, his life and all its fullness of doing and being, his following through of your way to the end, for your raising up of him and all who follow him. God of inspiration, we praise and thank you for human history and the richness of our inheritance, the heights of human artistry and the depths of human understanding. Father, you come to us by your Spirit and you perform your work of new creation. Lord, the loving and Holy Spirit of God, we pray that we and all people may increasingly work together to establish on earth the rule of the kingdom of heaven, that the resources of the world may be gathered, distributed and used with unselfish motives and scientific skill for the greatest benefit of all, that beauty may be given to our towns and cities and left untarnished in the countryside, that children may grow up strong in body, sound in mind, trained in spirit, that there may be open ways and peace and freedom from end to end of the earth, and that people everywhere may learn to live in love through keeping the company of Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, as we pray for each one here, those who are all around us and are left or right in front of us and behind us, who are seated above us or beneath us and in another part of this building. And Father, as we pray too for those who can't be here. We pray that wherever they are, your Spirit is with them. Father, we present to you our offering, a token of all that you've given us, we give back to you. And we present ourselves to you once again, to be dedicated to your service, to follow your ways. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we get to this time of dwelling in the Word, we actually just remain seated for All I Once Held Dear. And we'll sing through that, and then the readings take time to dwell in the Word, and then a new commandment before hearing, going to the sermon. So, All I Once Held Dear. Continue to consider the Ten Commandments. The reading is from Exodus 20, and it's verses 3 to 11, and Pat's going to read first time round, and then we'll have a prayer and a time of quiet, and I'll read the second time.
You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
I'll say it again, the second reading is a time, you'll see it on the screens afterwards as well. It's just a time to consider what it is that God wants to share with you from this reading. What are the things that come out, jump out at you, make you wonder? So the reading again from Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them and worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you and ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that it'll be very, very clear, and this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We heard earlier that kind of recap of where we were last week. And again, some of the other questions that thinking about was the place of what that idolatry can do, and it's the main cause of not having or maintaining our up connection, our connection with God. But there's other things that come into play in how we regard not just the Ten Commandments, but actually the Old Testament. And very much sometimes that people have that idea of the Old Testament as the Old Testament, and so it doesn't account anymore. But Jesus is quite clear, and he said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And through the great commandments, to love God and to love your neighbour, he reinforced all that. And we can see that movement that was there from law to grace. And a reminder that the commandments are a love gift from God to his followers. And I spoke there last week about the whole thing about the if you obey, more about whenever you obey, when you hear. And also spoke about the commandments being a covenant and a sign of our salvation. It's one of the things that said, you know, we're not saved when we obey the commandments. Actually, there's something there to be considered, to be thought through, to be pondered, because we're saved and our transformation is that we can follow the commandments, we can behave in such a way. And one of the things that struck me this week when I was thinking about this, it's a wee memory I had, and it was in discussion with other folk, talking about the Ten Commandments, talking about coming to faith. And I remember having a moment when just newly come to faith, had that great experience with God, and wow, life's changing. And this wee word in the back of the head said, so there's a whole lot of stuff you won't be able to do now. Look at the Bible, look at the Ten Commandments, you won't be able to do stuff. And after I got over that wee bit, I thought, who are you kidding? I wasn't doing that anyway. But actually, it's the way we start to think about things. Fortunately, sometimes a lot of people think that the Bible is there to stop us from doing stuff. It's to stop us from having fun. It's to stop us from living a life. And I say that's just not true. But there are people who will say, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. It's my decision. Nothing's going to stop me. So I'm going to do this. And that's almost in spite of the commandments. And then, of course, there's other wee thought process is that if God doesn't want us to do something, why does he tell us not to do them? Because human nature is such that if we're told not to do something, we'll want to do it. And we see that in wee children. We see that in older children. We see it happen. But here's the thing. When we start to actually get into the Ten Commandments and think through these commandments, I'm going to look at two sections today, pick up the other one next week. There's three positive statements in these verses. Verse 2, which we omitted this morning, which is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's a positive statement. I, the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. I being your, the Lord your God. So that's that first positive statement. The next one is to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And the third one is to honour your father and mother. Now, if we start to look at these three, pick these three out of the scripture, and maybe even at some point today, have a look at your Bible and just see how it sets out. But that's our starting point. And so we might think about this first one, verse 2, I am the Lord your God. And then it takes in the rest of the another three commandments. It takes in, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. These kind of fall out of that first one. I am the Lord your God. And it's about right relations with God. This is about being, as we've spoken before, about the up relationship and that triangle, and the up relationship, our relationship with the Father. And there, just to focus on that, I am the Lord your God. And that then is a right relation with God. That then starts to take us to think about the Sabbath day and to think about, to think about these commandments of not having an image, of not misusing the Lord's name, and not having another God. And these things are in some of the things about, really, about idolatry as well. Shall have no image, shall make no for yourself no image of anything in heaven and earth or in the waters. You shall not have an image, you shall not have an idol, so don't have anything else. And one of the things that just struck me today in the reading, when Pat was reading particularly, is when we were talking about that, when she was reading through the chapter, the verses on the image, and God says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation, but showing love. So the third, fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And the wee thought I had this morning is I've missed that all week. I've been looking at this and I've missed that all week. What is it about the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but loving, showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments? So these things can come up and strike us at any time, but this is that right relations with God, being in the right position about loving God and about being there and sitting with Him. The next section is, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. And then that brings in the following verses 9 to 11. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So that's that kind of second section that follows that positive, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. So there's a positive there, and then the instruction almost of how that shall do that, and a lot of you'll not do any work. And the explanation going back to Genesis about creation, and pointing out that on 6 days God created the heavens, the earth, the waters and all that is in them, and on the seventh he rested. Now, of course, if we go back to Genesis and start to read Genesis, then when we get to the sixth day, he made male and female in his image. So the bit for me, and a bit I'm really still working through as well, is God takes 6 days and he gets to the point of making us in his own image, and then he rests. So we're made on the sixth day, but the first day for us is a rest day. If you think that through, the first day that humans are on earth, the first full day that humans are on earth, is a Sabbath. So we go from rest into work. Instead of going from work into rest. And I've known that, particularly when I'm working shifts, I've seen it 7 day shifts, night shift on Tuesday night, and you never thought of just finishing your long weekend, you actually think of finishing night shift on a Tuesday night, finish night shift on a Tuesday morning, the following Tuesday morning, late shift on the Thursday afternoon, finishing late shift on the Wednesday evening, early shift on the Saturday morning, finishing the early shift on this Friday, and then rest for a long weekend. And there was time, I remember, they were talking about actually the shifts are the wrong way around, because we shouldn't go from night shift to late shift to early shift. We should go from early shift to late shift to night shift, because it was the wrong way around for our body clocks. They tried that for a while. I think it destroyed my body clock. But they tried it. But actually, what I found easiest now is to sit and think, well, I'm going from my time off, my Sabbath, into work. So I rest, and I prepare, and I go into work. And I don't really have much focus on the day off till I get there. I certainly don't think, normally don't think halfway through the week. Or in my case, Jings, it's only Sunday. When's my day off? You know, so it actually starts to think a new process. And that starts to settle us into a way of worshipping God and about taking time with him. And so, again, we're in that point of being the right relation with God, about the right relation of worship of God, and it's about removing the things that prevent us from doing that. I remember too, when I was facing low grades and hires and all that stuff, promising my mum I was going up to my room to study. We've all been there. We've either told people off or we've been the ones that have said it. Of course I'm going up to my room. Of course I'm going to study. Of course I'm going to do this. And the first thing you do is you move things about and you tidy things up and you can't leave things alone because you've got to do something. Anything at that point is preferable to opening the books and doing the study you need to do. And when I went to university in 2010, I thought, I'm a big boy now. I understand all this. I know what this all means. So when I go into the study and to learn and to prepare for exams, I know fine what I have to do. I have to go in the study and study. And the books went in the right place. And the pencils went sharpened. The computer needed something tweaked on it. There was something else to take your mind away from doing that which you're supposed to do. And for me, that's the kind of idea of what happens. When we sit down to pray or to read the Bible and take time for our own devotions, then things get in the road. Because sometimes we just see other things, or things appear in front of us. And in many ways, that's a kind of a dullity. Particularly if we want to sit down and think, I'll just watch the end of Homes Under the Hammer, and then I'll. or I'll just watch the end of, and then I'll. Actually, the whole point is about switching that off and going to do. So the Ten Commandments and the positive points take us to a point of actually understanding that the shall nots are about the positive statements, how we do the positive statements, how we are in right relations with God, how we are in right relations with the worship of God. And next week we'll look at that third bit, which actually honour your father and your mother so that you may live long and well in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And that's all about how it is with society, right relations with society, about loving your neighbour. First two sections very much about loving God, and the next bit we'll look at is loving your neighbour. But it all stems for me, it all stems from that first verse, verse 3. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And actually, when we get that, when we understand that and know that in our heart, then it's not about being stopped from doing something, but it's actually about being set free. It's not being trapped or inhibited or stopped, but it's about God's mercy and God's grace to help us in our relationship with Him and those around us. And so the Ten Commandments are not something that's stuck in the Old Testament for the people then, but actually they're there for us to ponder, to meditate on, and to focus on in our relationship, first of all with God, and then our relationship with our neighbours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Praise you for your Spirit amongst us now, and ask that He leads us and guides us in all our thoughts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Thank you. So go now to love and to serve the Lord your God, to build up your relationship with him, to love him and to love our neighbours. In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.